For our scripture, I'd like to ask you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you have your Bible with you. Turn with me, or from the Pew Bible, or otherwise just follow, listen carefully as we read. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 21. Hear again the word of the Lord. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which shall live not henceforth unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Paul me no more knowing him as in the flesh, because he's now ascended into heaven. Verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, or in a sense, that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, or in Christ's behalf, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, and may thy Holy Spirit be our instructor this day. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name with thanksgiving. Amen and amen. In the New Testament, as we study throughout the Word of God, we find that Christians are many times referred to in various terms, such as light, salt, a branch. The Bible refers to us as soldiers, as athletes, and the such like. And each of these words, each of these metaphor, are a way in which God, by divine inspiration of the writers, is sharing something about the character, the nature, or the ministry of the born-again believer. Now, today, in the message this morning, I want to speak to you about another metaphor that is used to show something about who we are and what is our task. And that, of course, is where the Word of God declares, we are Christ's ambassadors. And you'll notice in your bulletin, that's the title of the message. We are Christ's ambassadors. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20, notice what it says again. Now then we are Christ's ambassadors, as though God had beseeched you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. Now, Webster's Dictionary gives this definitive statement about an ambassador, and I quote him, an ambassador is an envoy or sent one, sent by one country or sovereign to another as a representative with a mission or assignment given by his superior. Now, looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 through 21, we're going to see how that this definition, in a very real way, parallels our Christian life and our biblical ambassadorship for Christ. And my prayer is, dear folks of Harmony Presbyterian Church, as I share the truths of God's Word, His Holy Spirit may challenge each of us to be truly stellar ambassadors for Christ, our Sovereign King of Kings. First of all, I remind you that as a sent one, the ambassador has authority. Now, this authority is not invested in himself, in his own personality or his own prestige. This authority is given in his position that is placed upon him. This investment, this vesture, this characteristic, this ambassadorship, is given to us not by our worth, not by our value, not by our ability, but it is given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. Look back at an ambassador of our nation. He does not go to another country because, well, he wants to go on a tourist view of the country. He doesn't go to accomplish what he wants to do. It's not in his interest. He goes there under the authority of the President of the United States. And so an ambassador goes with an authority. And so in the Christian sense, as in a Christian ambassador, we are God's ambassadors, and we go under his authority. And my friends, I tell you right now, I don't know of any other authority I would rather have. Oh, the authority of politicians, the authority of some national power may be great, but let me remind you as Christians, there is no greater name, no greater person, no greater power that could be ever given to us than the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. And so we find again that Jesus Christ gives us authority. Listen to what the Bible says in Matthew 28, verse 18 and following. Jesus speaking says, all power. Now, there are two words used for power, we're told in the scripture. One has to do with strength. That's not what's spoken of here. In Acts 1:8, as the writer Luke is writing by divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That word means, in a Greek word, we're told, is dunamis, which is where you get the word dynamite, dynamo. That's strength. It says here in that particular portion that after you receive power, strength, through the Holy Spirit, but not in the case of Matthew 28, verse 18. There the word power means authority. And so again, Jesus Christ declares all power or authority is given unto him. Now watch what he says. Go ye therefore, go how? In his authority, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. In John chapter 15, verse 16, Jesus said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, commissioned you, given you the authority, given the ambassadorship that you should go and bear much fruit and that your fruit should remain. Folks, you are a chosen people of God, and we're chosen for a purpose, and that is to be his ambassadors, his representatives, going under his authority. I remind you, our authority is in the name of Jesus Christ. And so as you go out in this world, each of you, not just the pastor, not just the board of elders or deacons or the Sunday school teachers, but every born-again believer, we're to go out into the world sent by God with authority to be his representatives among a people, a humankind that so greatly needs the representation of God. Yes, as a sent one, you have authority. But also an ambassador, a sent one, has an assignment. Again, the assignment is not by that which he wishes to do, just something he decides he'd like to do, but the assignment is given by his superior commissioner. And Jesus Christ, our superior commissioner, Jesus Christ, our sovereign king, gives us the assignment to be his ambassador, his representative in this world in which we live. And so Christ gives the commission to you and to you and to me. Let me suggest three commissioning assignments that we as believers have. First of all, we have a commission, we have a challenge, we have an assignment, first of all, to care for dying people. Now, when we think of dying people, I'm not thinking of physically dying, though we should care for them. Those that are hurting, we should care for them. But we're speaking about a greater death than that which is physical. Let me remind you, every man and every woman, every boy and girl who walks across the country of our nation, across the world, walks down the streets of the sidewalks of our cities, every human person outside of God's sovereign saving grace in Christ are walking dead people, alive physically, but they're spiritually dead in trespasses and sin. And so we're to care for the dying. 2 Corinthians, the portion you're in right now with Scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. Listen carefully. For the love of Christ constraineth us, it compels us, it assigns us as ambassadors, because we thus judge that if one died for all, that is, one being Christ, died for all, then we're all dead indeed. It's talking about spiritual death. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5, 12, wherefore is by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death is passed upon all, in that all have sinned. Yes, as a hearse and a procession goes down the highway with someone in there who's passed away, that physical death is one kind. That comes upon everybody. But there's a greater death than that of physical. And this in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 is referring to the spiritual death. We are dead in trespasses and sin. And so we're commissioned. When Christ died for all, then all have sinned and all are dead. And the job, the commission of the church is to bring that message of life and hope and salvation to a dying world. Yes, ambassadors of Christ care for the dying people. But secondly, we're a challenge to bring them that life. Notice, if you'll notice with me in 2 Corinthians 5:17, that if any man be in Christ, any man, any woman, any boy, any girl, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. John 3:16. We all know that by heart, don't we? And of course, most of us probably learned it from the old translation. And I'll ask you to quote it with me, if you will, please. Joining together, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. We are perishing people by our first birth. We're born to die, but in Christ we ever live in eternal life itself. And so we are challenged to bring the message of life, of light, of life eternal, of salvation to a lost and dying world. Jesus said on at least three occasions that great commission. May I rephrase it, the great mandate? And by the way, I noticed in your bulletin insert, and I praise you for that, I thank you for it, your vision for world missions. You have two missionaries there listed that I know you are praying for and very likely you are supporting. You know what they're out there doing? They're out sharing the message of Christ in another part of the world. But you know something? You and I are missionaries as well. It has been said you're either a missionary or you are a mission field. And folks, right now, you are missionaries. Not over yonder, but right where you are now. Someone once said that missions should begin at your front door and go all the way around the world and end up back at your back door. You cannot, or at least God has not called you to Africa or India or to Asia or to South America, but you know where God has called you? He has called you among your friends. I didn't say friends, I said friends. You know what Fran is? F, friends. R, relatives. A, associates. N, neighbors. That's your mission field. Your friends, your relatives, your associates, people you work with, and your neighbors. And so our challenge of our great King Jesus ambassadors for Christ, not only care for the dying, but by your life, by the way you live, by the way you act, and by the words you speak, and as the Holy Spirit gives you opportunity with the very challenge for sharing your faith, we are to be challenged to bring them life. But then the third thing, yes, care for the dying, be concerned rather, challenged to bring us them life, and then committed to our calling. See, it's one thing to know what man is like, that in their human nature, under the Adamic curse, they're dead. That's knowledge. And it's also an understanding that he wants us to share that life. But that still doesn't put it in action. The thing that brings it to action is when we become committed to our commissioning. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 18 and 19a, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself. You know what that word reconcile means? Your church's name means it. Harmony into unity. God in his redeeming grace brings a sin-cursed, a foreign, alien creature because of Adam's sin, and we're all the seed of Adam, back into harmony, reconciliation. It's a beautiful truth. I'm reading again, if you'll follow with me as I read again. Verse 18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled, brought us back into harmony unto himself by Christ Jesus, and hath given to you and to you and to me the ministry of reconciliation. You know something, folks? God has no other plan by which to share his redeeming message to lost humankind. Only one time did an angel proclaim salvation's message. Did you know that? And that was when Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Remember, the angels appeared to the shepherds and said, behold, we bring you good tidings of great joy. For unto you this day is born in the city of David, the what? The Savior, who is Christ the Lord. That's the salvation message. Angels don't proclaim it anymore. Sinners saved by the sovereign grace of God are his instruments to share the message with those who are still lost in sin. He could have chosen angels, and they probably have done a better job, but he didn't. He chose you and me, who once were lost in sin, and now are children of God through the sovereign grace and saving power of Jesus Christ. Move on a little further, verse 19, then, as we finish that part. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world, bringing them back into harmony, not imputing or any longer accounting their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Isn't that a beautiful truth? I was once a sinner, lost in sin, but when I by faith repented of my sin and accepted Christ as my personal Savior, in his sovereign power and grace, he redeemed me, he forgave me, he cleansed me, and he no longer counted my sin against me. That's a wild truth, folks. That's wonderful. That's why you can sit here today and worship in joy and peace in the midst of a world that is filled with turmoil. Moving on. Yes, the ambassador has an assignment. You and I have an assignment. It's simply to tell the world that Jesus loves them, and he died for them as he did for you. The ambassador, as a sent one, has authority. You go in the name of Jesus, because at the very name of Jesus, the very powers of hell flee away. That's a powerful name, folks. You have an authority. His name is Jesus. You have an assignment, and that is to care for the dying, to be a challenge to bring them the salvation message, and be committed to our calling. But now finally, as a sent one, the ambassador has an accountability. He leaves his country under the authority of the President of the United States of America, he goes to another country. He goes there to represent his nation. He goes there to carry the message that was assigned to him. The length of time may be a certain amount of time. It may be an unknown amount of time. But one day, that ambassador comes back to his home country, to his own nation, and he gives an account of what he's done. There have been times when an ambassador has embarrassed our nation, maybe because of the way they acted, or because of bringing an untruthful or a faulty message, or maybe even more disdainingly, became a traitor. And it brings shame. But when the ambassador comes back and the ambassador has carried the message, they have well represented our democracy and our nation. And they've been faithful to what they've been called to do. They come back, the bands are playing, and there's great praise. There's an accountability time for the ambassador. And so, my dear folks, there's also a time when we shall give an account of ourselves. An ambassadorship gives an accountability, and a time when we're going to give accountability. Let me give you several biblical statements concerning that. Romans chapter 14, if you wish to turn there, otherwise listen carefully, where Paul speaks by divine inspiration of God. And he simply says this, Romans chapter 14, verse 10 through 12, "But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us," that's believers, "shall give an account of himself before the Lord." Again, we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, again, Paul speaking to the church at Corinth, reading verses 12 through 15, chapter 3, verse 12. Paul here says, "Now if any man build up," but let's go to verse 11. "And other foundation can no man lay than which is laid, who is Christ Jesus. All that we do is based upon the Lord Jesus Christ." And then going on a little further, verse 12, "For if any man build upon this foundation, upon the Lord Jesus Christ, with that which is called gold, silver, and precious stone, or hay, wood, and stubble," that certain kinds of thing, either gold, precious stone, and silver, or hay, wood, and stubble, "every man's work," not the man, but the work, "shall be made manifest in that day, and in the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work, what sort it is." Verse 14, "If any man's work," not the man, "if any man's work abide, he shall receive, abide, which he hath built upon, he shall receive a reward." Now, let me clarify. A reward is not heaven. Heaven's not a reward. Did you know that? Now, sometimes we as preachers use terminology that kind of misleads. Have you ever heard anybody say that this, a believer, okay, has passed away, they've gone to their eternal reward? No, they haven't. You know why? I'm glad you asked me that question. A reward is given for what? For something you've done, right? If I do something good, I get a reward. Folks, I don't care how good you do or how good you be or whatever word you use, you're not getting heaven because of something you've done. It's a gift, right? It's a gift. It's not a reward. Salvation is not a reward. It's a gift. I believe here the reward is to hear the Father of glory saying, "Well done, my good ambassador. You've been faithful." And so it goes on and says further, "If a man's work abide, whereupon he is built, he shall receive a reward." Verse 15, "If any man's work shall be burned," that means it was hay, wood, and stubble. He was not good, or she, in their earthly ambassadorship. Now watch it carefully. Listen carefully. "He shall suffer loss." Listen carefully. not salvation. Loss of what? The antecedent is reward, not salvation. That's a gift. Not heaven, that's a gift. He's talking about that reward of God's praise. He shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And so there's a time of accountability. Listen, you're being a good ambassador, or my being a good ambassador, isn't to get saved, or to keep saved, or to get to heaven. If that were true, then it would be by works. And we know it's not. It's by God's sovereign grace. The reward factor is to hear his words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." What's the reward of an ambassador when he comes back to his own home country? It's to say, "You did a good job." He's still a citizen, even though he may have not done a good job. But he doesn't get that kind of praise. And so there is a matter again of accountability. And so we need to be sure that we're living a life that is a good testimony for Christ. I remind you again, not in order to get saved, not in order to keep saved. That is by grace through faith, as Luther said, alone. We're justified by grace through faith. The reward has to do with the matter of the praise of God, in saying, "You've done a good job." And you know something? When I accepted Christ as Savior at the age of 10, I became a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's settled. But when I get to heaven, I want to hear my master say, "Richard, you were a good ambassador." Isn't that what you want to hear? I think you do. Now moving on a little further in conclusion. The accountability time. And so the challenge is to you today and to me. We are his ambassadors. We have been sent into this world. And as ambassadors, we have an assignment. And we want to carry that out. Why? Not to get saved. I remind you again, not to keep saved. Not to get to heaven. That's established by the cross. That's settled eternally through my repentant faith in Christ as Savior. But I want to be a good ambassador in order to please the one who loved me enough to die on Calvary's cross, to save me from a sinner's hell to a godly heaven forever and evermore. And so I conclude with this in stating, as an ambassador, as an envoy, as a sent one, you have authority. It's in the name of Jesus. You have an assignment. Is to make him known through your life, through your lips, through the things you do. And you have an accountability of one day being able to go before the Lord and say, "Jesus, because you love me so much and you saved me so fully and freely, I did my very best for you." And hear him say, "I know you did." Hey, you're not perfect. Did you know that? If you didn't know it, ask your wife, she'll tell you. Or ask your husband, he'll tell you. Or if you're not married, don't ask anybody, they'll all tell you. But let me tell you something. God does not look at you through the eyes of imperfection. He looks through the eyes of perfection that's in Christ Jesus. So do your very best for Jesus, because he gave his very best for you. Therefore, until Jesus comes again, let us do our very best for his glory and for his purpose. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Father, thank you again for the truth of your word. Thank you for the ambassadorship we have. Oh Lord, help us not to look at it as a burden, but as a privilege that we can be your representatives in this world of darkness that so greatly needs the light of life in Christ. You've chosen us, your redeemed ones, to be the message bearers. May Harmony Presbyterian Church, through its people in this very building, be an ever-shining light throughout this entire community, and through their world missions burden, even the waves of salvation being shared around the world. Bless this dear people with your power, with your grace, and give them again that courage and that desire to be a good witness for Christ until he comes again. In Jesus' name, I humbly ask it. Amen and amen.